The Intolerance of Tolerance by D.A. Carson, Eerdmans 2012, 186 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. About the author. D.A. Carson is research professor of New Testament at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, Deerfield, Illinois. He has written or edited more than 50 other books, including The Gagging of God, Christianity Confronts Pluralism, Becoming Conversant with the Emerging Church, and Christ and Culture Revisited. Introduction. In this book, D.A. Carson examines the changing face of tolerance in society. He demonstrates that in contemporary society, tolerance has become something vastly different from what it used to be in the Western world. Using a variety of examples, data, and rational analysis, Carson argues that the new tolerance is not only intolerant, it is totalitarian in both its assumed supremacy and its enforcement. The contemporary concept is incoherent and is applied in ways that are entirely inconsistent and contradictory. Christians cannot accept the parameters laid down under the reign of the new tolerance. They can encourage and support the rights of everyone to articulate their religious beliefs, they can be kind and courteous in discussions, but they cannot submit to privatizing their beliefs and being silent in the public square. Issues of rights and freedoms are tied to moral frameworks, and the new tolerance is tied to secular relativism. When Christians advocate objective truth and genuine morality, they are labeled intolerant and their views are dismissed. Nevertheless, Christians need to walk faithfully with the Lord and continue to winsomely and cogently express the truth of God found in His revelation. Table of Contents. Preface. Chapter 1. Introduction. The Changing Face of Tolerance. Chapter 2. What is Going On? Chapter 3. Jottings on the History of Tolerance. Chapter 4. Worse Than Inconsistency. Chapter 5. The Church and Christian Truth Claims. Chapter 6. And Still There Is Evil. Chapter 7. Tolerance, Democracy, and Majoritarianism. Chapter 8. Ways Ahead. 10 Words. Summary. Chapter 1. Introduction, The Changing Face of Tolerance. The concept of tolerance that is currently accepted in the West is intrinsically intolerant. The way that tolerance is understood today, however, is so deeply ingrained that challenging it is extraordinarily difficult. In older usage of the term, tolerance referred to the right that people had to hold their own views and beliefs, even if others disagreed with them. This meaning of tolerance has shifted, so that tolerance now is defined as accepting all beliefs as equally valid. Christians have always believed that Jesus is the only way to God. In the older view of tolerance, such exclusivity could not be classified as intolerant, but in the new definition, it is. Christians can affirm that other religions have the right to exist and can even be granted legal protection, while denying that the other religions are true. In the new sense of tolerance, this makes Christianity an intolerant religion, even though in the older definition, Christianity was tolerant. God Himself patiently tolerates evil people, while never agreeing with their wicked ideas. Tolerance toward people is a moral good, even though their ideas may need to be denounced boldly. The older definition of tolerance assumed that objective truth exists, that each party in a dispute thinks they know the truth, and that those who disagree with them are wrong, and that the best way to reach agreement is to allow for the free exchange of ideas. Today, many people think that there is no objective truth. In the domain of religion, this entails that all religions are equally true. Others believe that one religion may be true, but there is no way of determining which one it is. The result is that all religions should be accepted as equally true revelations of God. Rather than debating the merits of various religions and searching for truth, the great sin has become suggesting that one religion is true and the others are false. Advocates of tolerance decry all forms of totalitarian thought and absolutism in truth claims, with one notable exception. They exempt their own dogmatic, totalitarian, and absolutist doctrine of tolerance. Those who disagree with the new version of tolerance are castigated for being intolerant. The new tolerance claims that every view is equally valid, while rejecting the validity of those who disagree with their view of the rightness of this doctrine. those who are judged intolerant are written off as bigots. Increasingly, labeling someone's view as intolerant is a way of defeating their position, irrespective of the merit of their supporting argumentation. The very fact that a view is exclusive provides reason enough to reject it. Although we can be thankful that culture is becoming more sensitive to prejudice, political correctness has not been an unalloyed blessing. Making judgments about right and wrong is not the same as being judgmental and offensive. Chapter 2. What is going on? Although it is not difficult to find incredibly narrow-minded statements made by Christians, it is often overlooked that Christians believe that there are things that are so important they are worth fighting for. Some social pundits are noticing that American society is increasingly intolerant of those who reject its politically correct views, and there are an increasing number of people who complain whenever they feel offended by anything. Attempting to accommodate people so that nobody feels offended has resulted in highly offensive, not to say preposterously inconsistent, decisions. The cooperative bank in England dropped their client Christian Voice because Christian Voice did not hire homosexuals. To protect diversity, the cooperative bank got rid of one of their diverse clients. In the medical profession, practitioners are coming under increasing pressure to perform ethically questionable practices like abortion or leave the medical field. The Harvard Chaplain's website warns students against groups that are not as inclusive as they are, and tells students to stay away from groups that talk about knowing God in a special way. In 2002, a French author was taken to court for saying that he thought Islam was the dumbest religion and that the Bible was better written than the Quran. As Salman Rushdie observed, a country is no longer free when someone cannot say that one book is better than another. American public schools are battlegrounds for freedom of religious expression, with religious free speech often rejected on the basis of tolerating other views. Even in colleges and universities, where it has been traditional for ideas to be debated, thought cultures are making it impossible to share certain views without being branded as intolerant. Besides just the social censuring that some students have experienced for expressing their views, some students have been dismissed from their programs for saying things that others deemed intolerant. Even faculty members with long, positive track records have lost their jobs when certain students have complained that the professor's views have offended them. Several prominent universities have tried to ban evangelical campus groups on the grounds that these groups are intolerant and offensive. One particular moral issue where intolerance currently reigns is on the subject of homosexuality. Christians have been sued and brought before courts on the basis of articulating the view that homosexual practice is sinful and immoral. There is no tolerance when Christians are no longer able to articulate their views on morality or make decisions that are in keeping with their ethical consciences. Anecdotal evidence only goes so far, but some research has begun to document case after case where Christians and Christianity are singled out for charges of intolerance. On the flip side, there is a lot of vitriol and rhetoric directed against the Christian faith, but such is simply not branded as intolerant. Christians are being neutered in society. In the name of tolerance, their beliefs are not tolerated. Chapter 3. Jottings on the History of Tolerance. Every culture has tolerance for some things but is intolerant of others. How tolerance works out in a given society is tied to a wider moral vision. What a society thinks should be tolerated is connected to its ethical foundation. In early Christian history, Roman persecution of the church was largely based on Christianity's exclusivism. Everyone in the wider society agreed that all religious expressions were valid, and so Christianity's exclusive message could not be tolerated. The equality of religions and God was accepted as a common good, so the persecution of Christians in Roman society was also seen as a moral good. Religious pluralism was tolerated. Religious exclusivism was not tolerated. It was persecuted. Early in the history of the church, leading theologians argued for religious freedom for all people. When Christianity gained political power, however, there was a discernible shift on this issue. Augustine argued that the civil authorities should help enforce the silencing of heretics. Not everyone agreed with him, but by the time that the papacy was entrenched with great power in Europe, force was used to ensure fidelity to the Roman Catholic Church. After the Reformation, Europe experienced horrific battles pitched between Catholic and Protestant states. although how much of the conflict was religious rather than generated by political and financial gain is difficult to say. In the 17th and 18th centuries, the fallout from such overt and bloody intolerance caused renewed reflection on the proper role of tolerance in society. For the common good, many thinkers began to espouse the right of people to propagate their beliefs, even though it was assumed that some beliefs were true and others were false. In the West, issues of tolerance often center on the relationship between church and state. Christians have reflected from the beginning on the relationship between a nation's government and the church. Today, Christianity is being increasingly marginalized in the public square, with many suggesting that religious beliefs must remain private and not allowed to enter public discourse. Such a rigid separation is not what was envisioned in the Constitution, nor is it even imaginable for religions like Islam, where separating a private religious sphere from the public square is unthinkable. In the past, issues of tolerance were worked out in a culture where belief in the existence of God and a divinely given moral order were common. Such beliefs are not as widely accepted today, and therefore issues of tolerance must be discussed on the foundation of different presuppositions. The last century was the bloodiest and most intolerant on record, and the large-scale atrocities had little or nothing to do with religion. The postmodern ethos of relativism has caused many people to view truth as something perspectival and subjective. Tolerance, then, is viewed as something detached from objective truth. And when tolerance and truth claims conflict, tolerance reigns supreme. The new tolerance is society's highest virtue, and it is completely hostile to any value or thought that claims to be better than another. Chapter 4. Worse than inconsistency. Those on the right and the left of the spectrum of politics and morality are tolerant of some things and intolerant of others. It is those on the right, however, who are castigated as being intolerant according to the new meaning of the term. Those who argue that they know the truth are labeled intolerant, and their views are rejected on the basis of a so-called inclusive tolerance. The inconsistency of the new tolerance can be seen in example after example in Europe and North America. Those who defend the new tolerance make clear judgments about who is right and who is wrong when freedoms clash, with the result that advocates of the new tolerance condemn those who take moral stands that some may find offensive. This happens because, despite their claims about truth and tolerance, those who hold to the new tolerance actually believe that they are right, their position is true, their view is objective and neutral, and their position is superior to other positions. The new tolerance is grounded on philosophical ideals it professes to reject, and which it roundly condemns when perceived in other places. One of the guiding principles behind the new tolerance is the assumption that secular worldviews are superior to religious ones, and that thinking rooted in secularity is more neutral and helpful than thinking rooted in religion. Secularity is presumed to be the standard, and all competitors are dismissed as either unhelpful or dangerous in the public sphere. Religion can be privatized, and private beliefs must not be tolerated in public discourse and policymaking. Ironically, it is often asserted that religious people are intolerant, yet it is the secularists wielding the new tolerance who are marginalizing or censoring religious expressions in public spaces. In Western society, it is Christianity which receives the brunt of the intolerance of the new tolerance. Christian religious thought and convictions are targeted more than any other religion. Chapter 5. The Church and Christian Truth Claims. The new tolerance depends on neutrality in truth and ethics, but such a stance is ultimately impossible to maintain. Hearing assertions that belief in absolute truth leads to intolerance is quite common, but the opposite has proved to be the case. Relativism breeds intolerance. In societies where truth is a social construct, people do not have the ability to appeal to objective moral values in their fight against oppression. When truth and morality are relativized, people lose any ability to appeal to a standard over and above their society's values. Cultures, not truth, dictate what is acceptable. Regrettably, such thinking has infected the church. In some denominations, heresy is preferred over division, and those who deny the church's historic creeds and confessions are accepted, while those who uphold them are labeled intolerant. Some churches allow people to hold virtually any beliefs whatsoever, provided they don't insist the exclusivity of the historic doctrines espoused at all times in Christian history. Christian truth, however, cannot be denied without destroying the nature of Christianity. God has revealed himself and communicated truth which is to be accepted. Christ lived, died, and was resurrected in order to save and redeem rebellious sinners. The major doctrines of Christianity began in exclusive castes, and only later in the history of the church did more and more permutations emerge. The Bible clearly teaches that the problem with human beings is sin, and the only way to be reconciled to God is through faith in Jesus Christ, who atoned for sin in his death on the cross. This theological exclusivism does not preclude love. On the contrary, love is demanded in Scripture. But neither does love preclude theological orthodoxy. If Christianity is a true in an ultimate sense, and people need to know Jesus Christ in order to be saved, then evangelism follows as a necessity of love. This means that it is impossible for Christians to accept the privatization of their faith, or to accept that they must refrain from articulating their Christian views in public. In fact, squeezing Christianity out of the public square represents an intolerant attitude toward the very essence of the Christian faith. Chapter 6. And Still There Is Evil. The elites who believe they are in a position to judge what the new tolerance should tolerate believe that they are advancing a higher morality. Part of their morality is the unwillingness to label anything as being genuinely evil. Yet if nothing can be termed evil, then our moral structures are vacuous. Christianity has taught that there is genuine moral evil, and furthermore, every sinner is infected with it. We are all sinners. But if there is no sin, then it is hard to maintain that there is real evil. In regards to morality, relativism denies the existence of ethical standards, or denies that human beings have epistemological access to them, or denies that any existing standards are relevant. If there is no standard of goodness, then nothing can violate goodness, and thus nothing can be evil. This, in turn, undercuts the application of the new tolerance. How can anyone decide what should be tolerated or not tolerated when there is no right or wrong? Society used to debate which practices conform to moral standards, but now the new tolerance bypasses debates about substance to simply condemn those who take a stand on moral issues. If certain people in society think that something is right, it is intolerant to disagree. The only thing that can be immoral today is to claim that something is immoral. Sexual practices are virtually all condoned, but saying that some of them are wrong is unacceptable, because sexual expression has become a more important societal virtue than freedom of speech, religion, and searching for truth. Chapter 7. Tolerance, Democracy, and Majoritarianism. Contemporary discussions of tolerance are connected to individual rights, but this raises the question, where do rights come from? It also raises the question as to who will enforce these rights. One egregious example comes from a court ruling against prison fellowship ministries. The ministry had impeccable documentation that their program helped criminals avoid recidivism, but a judge ruled they could not receive funding because they were an evangelical group that did not line up with what every Christian church believes. The ruling was not based on the fact that the ministry was religious, but that the ministry was evangelical. The judge's theological ruling demonstrates complete incompetence in understanding basic Christian teachings. Examples like this could be multiplied, but the main point is that in a thousand small ways, the state is moving towards coercion, legally restricting Christianity in the name of tolerance. Trying to privatize religious beliefs runs against one of the main reasons, freedom of religion, that led to the founding of America. People have the constitutional right to bring their religious ideas into the public square. To forbid this is to privilege secular humanism as the default and intrinsically preferable worldview. The concept of democracy is understood in a variety of ways and finds many different expressions and applications around the world. Liberal democracy requires elected representatives, economic and military stability, and structures that allow the public to be informed enough to hold their representatives accountable. Today, non-elected groups like the courts wield tremendous power, and elites mediate the perceived will of the international community, however that is understood, down to the individual nation. However it is functioning, the bare idea of democracy cannot guarantee that truth is accepted and proper morality is practiced. Democracies can become just as totalitarian as other governmental systems. Christians must not think that truth will prevail simply because they live in a democracy. Chapter 8. Ways Ahead. 10 Words. 1. Expose the New Tolerance's moral and epistemological bankruptcy. 2. Preserve a place for truth. 3. Expose the New Tolerance's condescending arrogance. 4. Insist that the New Tolerance is not progress. 5. Distinguish between empirical diversity and the inherent goodness of all diversity. 6. Challenge secularism's ostensible neutrality and superiority. 7. Practice and encourage civility. 8. Evangelize. 9. Be prepared to suffer. 10. Delight in and trust God. Copyright 2014, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.